As we begin this morning, I'm going to ask our student leaders and our residents to come down front. I introduced them last week, but they're going to bring you a little card. So as you guys make your way, there's some stacks there. If you are one person that likes to take notes, or if you like to not listen to what happens right now and doodle, this is your lucky day. I have a card that you're going to get to doodle on, write on, both sides actually. And so they're going to bring you one of those. If you don't want one, that is perfectly fine. Just pass the stack to the next person or the next aisle. We'll get to those cards in a couple of hours. You think I'm kidding? A few months ago, Charlie and Mark started a conversation about discipleship and being a disciple of Jesus. And our ministry for the last few years has been wrestling with this conversation as well. What does it actually mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And Charlie helped us define that a little clearer this summer. He kind of hinted at the idea that being a disciple of Jesus means that we're committed to following Jesus. There's something about this first commitment of our head that says, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. There's also something about Jesus changing us, that we're not only are we committed to following Jesus, we're being changed by Jesus. This is where Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. But it goes farther than that. Not only are we committed to following Jesus and being changed by Jesus, but we are carrying out the work of Jesus in the world. And so we're committed to Jesus with our head, our heart, and our hands. And so we're beginning to see a picture of what it means to actually be a disciple of Jesus right now, right here, today, on our campus, and in our community. Now, I want to set up this morning a little bit. I would like for you to view this morning less as a sermon and more of a meeting with my leadership team. See, here's why. The card that I just gave you, I was actually going to teach our leadership team in the next few weeks. And what we were going to do with the ideas that are on both sides of these cards, I'm going to call them tools, is begin to translate these tools to our campus. So on one side of the card, you'll see something that says sphere of influence. It's got a little circle there. And on the other side, you'll see something that says sphere of discipleship. These are two tools that we're going to use in our ministry to kind of wrestle with the idea of being a disciple of Jesus today. And so this morning I thought, well, what if I shared it with you? Let me go ahead and tell you, these are not original to me. So if you think, hey, we could tweak this a little bit and it might be better, come talk to me. Not in the middle, of course, when we are done. If you think, man, this is terrible, how dare you use that? You can rip up your little card, set it in the seat, and we'll pick it up later. And you can come to me after and say, that's terrible, don't ever use those again. But really, this is something that's going to be a little fluid for us. But I want to continue as best I possibly can to equip our students with tangible, practical tools and ways that they can be disciples of Jesus on our campus. It is very, very crucial, and hopefully you'll see some of that this morning. Let's start on the side of your card that says sphere of influence. All of us, I would argue, have a sphere of influence. You have a place that you have influence in your life. Most of you have leverage in some way in relationships, in jobs, in family, maybe just kind of in general in the way that you communicate with the world. You've labored there. Maybe you have loved in that place. You've been there long enough to create space around you to where you know that you have influence. And here's what I want to try to argue this morning. God has sent you to a sphere to make Jesus clear. I know, it rhymes. I'm sorry. It just happened. So if you want it to unrhyme, I can put other words in there so it doesn't. But God has sent you to a sphere to make Jesus clear. God has put you in a place on our campus or in our community so that you can be a disciple of Jesus, one that's committed to following, being changed by Jesus, and co-laboring with him with his work in the world. And I would argue all of you have some sort of sphere. It might be really, really small, and it might be huge. So what I want to do is on that side that says sphere of influence, I want to go around and let us fill in those cute little shapes there and try to quickly kind of unpack different places that you, hopefully, potentially, have influence. All right, here we go. Number one, business. Many of you have influence in business. That's maybe because that's where you work. You work in some sort of business. It might be something local. It might be something foreign. It might be a little mom and pop. It might be something ginormous where you make millions of dollars and we have no idea. We can pass the contribution trays again. No, I'm kidding. Hopefully some of you have incredible influence in business. Maybe even some of you own businesses. So what does it look like for you to be sent to that sphere to make Jesus clear? What's it look like for people in business to step into that space? And maybe you can't proclaim the name of Jesus. Maybe you can't tell someone that the Spirit of God did something crazy in your heart that morning. But can you be a light? Can you share love in some way with people? In some way, can you breathe life? One of the phrases we use is life-giving. Can you be a life-giving person in your business? Whether that's the way you run it, the way you participate, or the way that you are on the absolute bottom rung of the ladder, and yet you can have influence. Some of you have influence in business. Others of you have a sphere of influence in media. Maybe you're a part of the mass media. You communicate with hundreds or thousands of people. Perhaps more common for most of us is social media. We participate in social media. And let me go ahead and say, we need a lot more people making the name of Jesus clear on social media. We also need some Jesus people to read their posts before they post them. Or maybe send them to a friend who deeply loves Jesus too. And say, hey, should I post this? Well, maybe not. Or yeah, push it out. Let the world know. Media is a fascinating thing. And what's funny is how often in the media we talk about the media. You picked up on that? Media talks about the media? That's a really funny for me thing. But a lot of you have influence in the media, maybe in social media. So how do we use that sphere that in today's age, I can talk to my phone that's sitting on the front pew and tell it to post something on Facebook, never touch it, and my friends that are in China will see it, well, maybe not China, that are in London or Europe will see it instantly. That's incredible. Education. Some of you have incredible influence in education. Some of you are getting an education, and that's why you have influence. You're sitting in a classroom every day with your peers. And by the way, if you're in school, you have one of the most incredible abilities to influence people that you will lose the second you graduate, whether that's from high school or college. Here's why. You're around people all the time. And every year they're new, especially when you get to college. You meet new people all the time. You have an incredible ability to influence people. Others of you are educators. You participate in the education system. You're about bringing up new generations. You have influence. And so what does it look like in a school where you might not be able to pray out loud in your classroom, but one of your students can at the lunch table? What does it look like for you to have influence in education? Next one, family. You could also include friends here. If you're a work-at-home mom, in other words, that your work is to stay at home and to raise and rear, as my 10th grade English teacher said, you don't raise children, you rear them. If your job, that's an incredible job. Thank you, by the way. You have an ability to influence people. For others of you, it might be that you're retired now, and you have an incredible ability to now do things for your family that you couldn't before. I've heard that once you're retired, you get busier. At least that's what I've heard from some of you. That's an interesting fact. Somebody said amen. That's good. But what does your influence look like in your family? Here's what I do think I understand a little bit of. This can be hard, by the way. It might be easier for you to go to work with a bunch of people you've only known for 6 months than it is for you to influence your family that knows all of your ins and outs, all your goods and bads, and you've seen all of theirs. And yet, this might be the only place you have real influence. So what does it look like for us to make Jesus clear within the sphere of our family? Next one. Government. Don't freak out. I'm not going to go there. But whatever side of the spectrum you land on, based on whatever spectrum you think I'm talking about, we need incredible people that are Jesus people, knee deep in the sphere of influence of the government. Right? How are we going to change the culture? How are we going to change, in some ways, how are we going to change the world? And some of you have an incredible passion for this. I don't. And that's okay. but some of you do. Unleash your passion. Next one. Church. You could also put in here just any sort of religious organization, spiritual organization, or really kind of anything that's progressing people, helping them change to find something greater than themselves. This is probably where recovery and those types of things go. But some of you have incredible influence in this room, right? And if you stood up and interrupted me, I'm probably going to be quiet. Why? You have incredible influence. And we need you to unleash the leverage that you have in a God-glorifying, Jesus-unleashing, Spirit-empowered way. In other ways, the church needs to be the place that we influence the world outside of here, our campus and our community, the ways that we're involved in what's going on in our community. Some of you, this is the best way for you to have influence. Soup kitchen, need line, other ways that we're plugging in around our community. This is a way that you can have influence. So how do we do that? How do we do it in the name of Jesus so that they know we're a disciple who's committed to following him, being changed by him, and co-laboring with him in the world? How do we do that? Last one. This is actually arts and entertainment, but entertainment's a long word. Arts and entertainment. By the way, this is actually probably where sports goes. Yes, it goes in that category. Strange to put those together. Before our God is a judge, before he's a father, or before he tells us all of the other awesome attributes we love about God, the first attribute we get about God in Scripture is that he's a creator. He's an insane artist. If you're an artist that creates and designs and participates in helping people see things in new ways, see things for the first time, we need incredible Jesus people unleashing their sphere of influence to make Jesus clear in the arts and in the entertainment world. We need it. Whatever that is, acting, drawing, designing, and even in sports. Sports, the idea of putting on a show for someone. Think about how cool sports are. We're showing the world how to win. We're also showing the world how to lose. Because we know who wins in the end. And we know potentially what it might look like to lose. So, I would like to see, don't have to raise your hand like way up high, but just give me a little something. If you were to say, hey, business is probably where I have the most influence. Anybody? Just slight raise of hand. Probably in some sort of business, you would say, yeah, that's probably where I have the most influence. What about media? Anybody? Mass media people in the room? Any social media fiends? You're like, yes, everyone reads my post. 3 likes in 3 years. Education, whether that's you're in school or you work in a school, any education people? That's all of you, by the way, probably. What about family? That family's probably where, okay, good. That's where you probably have the most sphere of influence. What about government? Anybody? Few people involved in some way? Okay, good. Church or some sort of religious spiritual organization? Okay, that's good. Great. The arts, arts and entertainment, that maybe this is your thing. Okay, good. Beautiful. Okay, what I would love to do if we had 2 hours, I told you we were going to get there, is go around and I would love to hear your ideas, how you can unleash your leverage, unleash your influence, and leverage your sphere of influence so that you can make Jesus clear. I would love to hear how you can love people, even though you might not be able to say the name of Jesus. I would love to hear how you can speak life to people in whatever realm of influence you have. I would also love to hear how you can just be a light that's good in a world that's often not. But I would also like to hear the other conversation. I would really like to hear what you think is the darkness of business. I would also like to hear what you think is the deception of media. I would also like to hear what you think, to use a really harsh word, is even the death of education. So while we have the ability to have an incredible influence, and I think God has sent you to a sphere to make Jesus clear, to share love and life and light, we live in a world that is full of darkness and deception and death. So I would like to hear the ways that you see that happening. We could go around and I could share lots of stories, right? Most of these are pretty obvious. This is what movies are made about, of the darkness and deception and death and all these things. Let me give you a couple of examples of people that have said, this isn't good enough. One of them comes from media. It's actually social media. I read an article recently about the CEO of Instagram. Now, Instagram is a social media platform. You can post on it on your phone. It's a way to just kind of be involved in the world. I read an article about the CEO of Instagram and that he, a little over a year ago, basically got fed up with the comments that people were making, or at least the ability of people to comment negatively on Instagram. They were at a conference and someone did something ridiculous, and then Instagram itself, Instagram posted on Instagram, imagine that. The comments that were said below, he didn't like. And he said, as a CEO, this has got to change. We need to make a better world. This one's not good enough. So what he did, like you do if you're the CEO, he told his people to figure out an algorithm, equation, to make those bad words go away. So they did. They figured out a way on Instagram that when someone posted something, they could actually just kind of erase some words. And just so happens that there was a great example. Thank you, T-Swift, Taylor Swift, for posting something ridiculous. And people began to respond. And so the first time they unleashed their algorithm to take away the negativity, the darkness, and deception on Instagram was with Taylor Swift. And it did. It removed what some people were saying about her. Of course, now they've actually changed the way that Instagram works in a lot of ways. You can actually control your comments. And in certain ways, you can actually pull certain words. Why did that happen? Because the person who had potentially the most influence in his sphere of social media looked at the world and said, it's not good enough. There's darkness, and there's deception, and we need to change it. Instagram's a place of life and light. I don't think this guy's even a believer. What in the world could we do as followers of Jesus? Let me give you another example from the arts. There's a rapper right now who's really, really popular. He wears a 3 on his hat. And he wears a 3 on his hat for various reasons. One of them is he just released his 3rd album. Another reason that I've heard him say in a few interviews is that it represents the Trinity. Well, his most recent album, I would not recommend you listen to it, so I'm not telling you his name. Keep your pie hole shut. Is you listen to his album and you go, wow, all right, nice beat. And 8 or 10 words in, you go, whoa. Glad my grandmama not here. She don't need to listen to those words. My grandmama is here. Not playing that song. But then you get 3 or 4 songs down, and he has a very explicit content Jesus song. Jesus is all over the song. And you're like, huh? What's up with this? And then you go 2 or 3 more songs. One of them is about Peter Pan, by the way. And you get to literally a song we've sang before, How Great Is Our God. That's fascinating to me. So I've read more than I ever should about him and watched lots of videos. And here's what he, in essence, is trying to do. He's a rapper. Rap has an incredibly bad name. And what he's trying to do is to say, there's plenty of space here for us to talk about God, even in the middle of all of this darkness, even in the middle of all of this deception. Okay. Now we're talking. And he has incredible influence, by the way. Incredible. He's actually never sold a CD. And he's winning awards. He's actually about, I think, to change the way that music works. He's giving away all of his music. He's winning awards. He was actually asked to give kind of a representation of Muhammad Ali's life at the ESPYs. Okay. Again, now he's a believer. But what type of influence can we have when we look at the world and say there's darkness, there's deception, there's death, and it's not good enough? And then you look at your sphere of influence and say, okay, where can I bring love and light and life? God has sent me here to this sphere to make Jesus clear. How can I do that? Well, to finish our time this morning, you actually have a backside to your card. I want to give you another tool. And again, I know that lots of information, hopefully they're simple words and simple terms so that you can wrestle with them over the weeks and years to come as we kind of continue to wrestle with discipleship. I want to give you something that's really a beginning. This is not an end. If this morning is the beginning of a conversation, and again, we're in a 300-person team meeting. Don't think this is a sermon. We're meeting as a team to go out in the world to participate in what God's doing. Okay, so this is just a tool. These are concentric circles. We'll start at the outside and go to the inside. This is what you need to start doing tomorrow if you want to participate in having influence in your sphere, whatever that sphere is. Number one is pray. And at the bottom, you need to be praying for 40 to 60 people a week. Yes, 40 or 60. You need to be praying for 40 to 60 people a week. That's it. Pray for them. And it would be great if these people were within your sphere of influence. People you see every day, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, maybe you just know their name, maybe you've heard it before. One of the things that happens on campus all the time is that I just hear lots of names. So people say, oh, you know this person? I'm like, no, but I heard the name. Well, you need to be praying for them. Okay, good. You need to be praying for 40 to 60 people a week within your sphere of influence. The next one. This is the place where you start talking about the invitation is come and see. So what you might have a conversation with this person is, hey, will you come and see what God's doing while I serve at the soup kitchen? This is where we talk about evangelism or serving people. If we do any outreach events or if your life group does any outreach events, this is kind of that first step of getting to know someone. They now know that you're a believer. They might actually hear you say the name of Jesus sometime. The invitation at this point is come and see. And we're talking about 20 to 40 people here. So 20 to 40 people that you see each week that you have some sort of intentional conversation with. We might call this the friend zone in all the good ways, right? This is the friend zone. People I know, I talk to them often, and the invitation to them is come and see. The next invitation is come and follow. And that number is actually wrong. It should be 10 to 20. The next invitation is come and follow. These are the people that you say, hey, will you come to life group with me? I'd really like you to study the Bible with you. Or hey, will you come to church with me? We do this really cool thing. And you begin to go beyond just friendship conversations. You're actually talking about Jesus consistently. What if that was 10 to 20 people? This is the Bible class you sit with on Sunday morning, right? Most of our Bible classes are in that range. A few are bigger, a few are smaller. So this is the point where you begin to say, hey, I want you to come follow Jesus with me. There's something actually happening there that's quite awesome. So we bring people to church. We bring them to Bible class. We bring them to VBS. We bring them to our activities. We bring them to the things that we're doing. And we say, hey, come follow Jesus with me. There's something really cool happening at the University Church. God's doing awesome things. We're helping people in recovery. We're helping people on campus. We're outreaching to our community. God's doing awesome things, and you need to come and follow Jesus with me all the time. So it's not just to come and see, not just a friend zone thing where you might talk about it, might not. We're actually doing life with people now a couple times a week. There is one more category in that middle circle. And this is where we're headed at some point. It's the come and die. And we're only talking about 2 to 4 people here. Very few. 2 is better than 4. This is the point where you talk to somebody every day. This is the point where you're doing what we call life on life. You know all of their junk. They know all of yours. And every single day you wake up and say, okay, what do I need to die to today so that tomorrow, today and tomorrow I can live to something new? This is where discipleship really begins to take root. That someone sees all of the ways that you've committed to follow Jesus are being changed by Jesus and are carrying out the work of Jesus. They see all of it because you talk about it. You meet at least once a week, maybe more. And then what begins to happen is that you see things play out. That 40 to 60 that you were praying for now gets smaller. That 20 to 40 are coming to see, 10 to 20 are following with you, but 2 or 3, that's where life's happening. That's where the good stuff's made. That's where we begin to see things take off. You begin to see Jesus do really, really incredible, awesome things that you've never seen him do before. God has sent you to a sphere to make Jesus clear. I have no idea what that sphere is. Hopefully this morning you got to think about that a little. Man, God sent me here to make Jesus clear. Okay, good. And maybe the sphere of discipleship is just a good place to start. Start praying for 40 to 60 people within your realm of your sphere of influence. And I know what you're thinking. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't want to accuse you. What you might be thinking, that's a lot of people. Yes, it is. So what's the number? 5? Okay. Let's make it 10. For some of you, 60 is too small. I have a good friend on campus. His number's 100. He prays for 100 people every week. And then as we move in, that's the way that you get to see your sphere change. Because as you disciple people, as you walk with them, as you begin to see Jesus do crazy things in their life, that's when our entire sphere of influence begins to change. And that's our hope. So a couple things as we finish this morning. I want you to pray for us. As I've asked you many times, our student leaders are actually going to be responsible for translating this sphere of influence to our campus. There are a lot of that language that doesn't make any sense for the way that we have influence on campus. And so we're going to try to come up with our own sphere of influence. That one's really good for us as a church because we're spread a little wider. But I want you to pray for us as we try to do that, because our incredibly great desire is to invite students into the story of God, because that's the only way to be truly human. And once we get there, to disciple them along the way so that they can see how to influence different spheres and to make Jesus incredibly clear. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is to keep praying for what our church has been praying for. How are we going to make disciples? What's that look like? Please pray for our leadership and pray for all of us as we seek every single day to be more committed to following Jesus, to being changed by Jesus in the everyday stuff of life, and to carry out his work wherever he sends us. Because God has sent you. He has. He has. God has sent you to a sphere. And our greatest hope is that we can make Jesus really, really, really clear. So I'm going to pray for us as we close. And then as we normally do, when I finish praying, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. If you need anything, that's our time for you to come down here or find someone around the auditorium that we can help you. Thanks for being here this morning. These five up here, hilarious. But more than that, incredible character. So thanks for being here this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then when I'm done, we'll stand and sing. Let's pray. Holy Father, you are so good and so merciful to us right in the middle of our brokenness. And so, Father, we thank you for the time we've had this morning to just remember. Remember what you've done. Remember who you are. Remember what you've called us to, and hopefully to celebrate that, to give you praise and honor and glory. And God, may we give you all the glory as we leave here, as we seek to find our sphere of influence and to do our best to make Jesus real clear. May you help us do that. May you help our students do that on campus, that they are in all sorts of really fantastic ways spread out across campus in different spheres. So God, may we leverage that. May we leverage the places that you've put us to make Jesus really clear. And we know that your Spirit's going to do that, that he can. That as we seek you and as we surrender to your call to be sent, that you're going to shape and you're going to change and you're going to mold us. So we want to see you do that on our campus. We also want to see you do that in our community with the people here in this room. Wherever you send us each day, may we find our sphere. May we know where we are, know who we are, and hopefully what you've called us to do, to leverage the way that we've co-labored with you to do incredible things here in our community. And God, as you send us to the world, may we celebrate wherever you send us, what you've done in Jesus by the power of your Spirit. Thanks for calling us your children. Thanks for letting us gather today and maybe be sent in your name to do your work wherever you call us. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.